Welcome to Curious Katie O, where I love digging into things that really pique my interest and things that I'm curious about. This season, we're diving into all things readings and books. Books that got me thinking, books that were, you know, an area I was curious about that I wanted to dive into. And so today we're going to dive into a fascinating and bit of a feisty book that's causing quite a stir in the tech world. It's Kara Swisher's Burn Book. And whether you're a tech enthusiast or someone who's just curious about how technology shapes our everyday lives, stick around because in this episode, you know, what I wanted to share with you are the insights and what I found reading this book that might change the way you think about the digital world. I'm your host, Katie O, and I'm looking forward to diving deep into this book by Kara Swisher. But before we get into the details, let's talk a little bit about Kara. So she's a veteran tech journalist, one of the originals, actually, and is often dubbed the most feared and respected journalist in Silicon Valley. So that is not a title I don't know that I would want or, you know, want to have, but it really fits her. And one of the reasons why is because she's been covering the industry for decades, and she really has a no-nonsense approach. She'll keep asking and asking until she actually gets to the answer that she wants, which is why she's respected, but also why she might be a little bit scary. She's the founder of what's called Recode, which was a hugely popular conference, and has hosted a bunch of podcasts. Her most recent ones that she really focuses on are Pivot, which is a lot about tech and the tech industry, and On with Kara Swisher, where she has interviewed just about everybody in Silicon Valley that you can think of, whether through her conferences or her podcasts. And I think what makes her unique is her ability to really cut through a lot of the noise and ask the questions that are really important and get to the heart of what she's trying to understand. Burn Book is her latest work, and it's exactly what the title suggests. It's a little like scorching the tech industry. It's a little bit like Burn Book, you know, from Mean Girls. But it's done with a bit of a tongue-in-cheek approach of like, I'm going to tell you what I really think about all these experiences that I've had over the last several decades covering tech. So why did she write this book? You know, according to Kara, she felt it was time to pull back the curtain and really talk about the truths that are happening in the tech industry, both good and bad. And never really being one to filter her thinking, I think this book is a no-filtered look from her lens into the tech industry. You know, she wanted to highlight the things that were brilliant, that drove innovation, but she also wanted to focus on the dark sides that have led to scandals, that have led to failures in tech. And her goal was to really make sure that we as consumers are better informed about the things that we interact with every day that we might not think about. So let's get into the five key findings that I had that really resonated with me from Burn Book. And it's not just for the tech crowd, because as my husband will attest to, I am not the tech savvy one in the house. So these are really lessons that I think can apply to everyday lives, no matter who you are. So the first one that really stood out to me was this idea of finding the power of having a vision. You know, if you think about tech and tech leaders, that first takeaway that you get from them is they have a really clear vision. You know, Kara emphasizes how the most successful tech innovators had a crystal clear idea of what they wanted to achieve. They could articulate it, they could speak to it, and they were driven almost to the point of, you know, being a micro versus a macro vision of what they were trying to do. This almost singular focus and motivation. And even when everything around them said it couldn't happen or it couldn't be achieved, you know, they were heavily focused on whatever that vision was or that thing was to try to create it. You know, the one that everybody talks about is Steve Jobs with Apple. So he wasn't just building computers. He was creating a future where technology would be an extension of who we are, of the design that we believe is important, of, you know, what a statement could be made about us with the extension of this technology. And so Kara writes, one of her quotes that I really like is, visionaries aren't just thinking about the next product, they're thinking about the next era. You know, when you think about the work that you're doing or things that you think are important, how many of us are spending our days not just thinking about the next product, but the next era, the next leap that the industry we're in might take? I'm guessing not many. Especially if you're like me and you work at a smaller to mid-sized company, just keeping up with what's happening today is usually enough. But just remember that, this is something that we can all apply to our lives. So whether you're starting a new project or you're changing your career, or you're setting a personal goal, this idea of having a strong, clear vision of what drives it is important. But also thinking beyond what's happening right now and thinking beyond what this will allow you to do in the future. It's that idea of chess versus checkers. Are you playing a 5-minute game that you're trying to outmaneuver your opponent? Or are you playing chess where you have to think 5, 6, 7 moves ahead and maybe sacrifice something because your vision is to get checkmate? The next big thing that really stood out for me was this idea of the danger of being the know-it-all. Kara talks a lot about the pitfalls of this word hubris, which I don't really use, so I'm going to, reterm that. And it's this idea of, are you the smartest person in the room? And in the book, she discusses how some of the brightest minds in tech really fell because they started to believe their own hype. They started to believe that they were the smartest person in the room and that no one else could possibly have an idea that made sense. So think about your life. Do you have people around you that tell you, that what you're doing might be risky or that you might want to think about it a different way? And if you don't, if you only have people around you that confirm every idea you have is amazing and every idea you have is the smartest idea you've ever had, you might want to ask yourself why that is. And for me, it goes back to this idea of ego. If you're comfortable in who you are and what you do, you can absolutely have people around you in the room that are smarter than you and love that kind of environment. And if you get too big for your britches kind of feeling, you might need to have people around you that just nod their heads and agree with you all the time. And if that's the case, you might want to rethink that. She shares stories of CEOs who thought that they were untouchable. In several of them, they were brought down by scandals or poor decisions. And so she writes, this is a quote from her book, "Hubris is the Achilles heel of innovation. It blinds you to the risks and makes you deaf to the criticisms." She talks about how these tech bros often believe that everyone is wired just like them, that think just like them. They can't imagine the negative ways people might use their technology. They can't imagine any kind of risk or criticism. They don't want that in the room. They just want to hear, like, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? And it's a powerful reminder for all of us that no matter how successful we become, that staying grounded and humble is a really key part of long-term success. The third thing she talks about, the role of ethics in innovation. This third finding about ethics, it was a really interesting narrative throughout the entire book. And, Kara is very clear that the greatest tech innovations aren't just about what they can do, but what they should do, and in some cases, what they shouldn't do. And she highlights companies that have pushed boundaries without considering the ethical implications, often leading to significant backlash and in some cases, legal trouble. And so her quote that she talks about in the book is, "Innovation without ethics is like a ship without a compass." She writes this other quote, "Technology is powerful, but it's our values that determine whether it will be a force of good or a tool for destruction." How often do you hear about things that, people are creating and innovating and they have a certain perception of how it will be used, and then it gets taken and used in a way that that individual never thought it would be taken? And it's this idea of when you build the tools, one of the quotes in the book is when you build the ships, you also have to have the lighthouse to manage the rocks. And this idea of, when you build certain things, there will be outcomes as a part of it that you might not think about. And so when people are solving the world's problems, what they often miss in these tech companies is that the world is a messy place with millions of people who may not even remotely share their values. And so if you don't build in the ethics around what you're doing, it's very easy for people to take those tools and the innovation and the tech that they've created and use it in a way that was never intended. And I think this is a crucial lesson for all of us, whether in business or in our personal lives. You should always consider the broad impact of the actions that you're taking. The next finding is about resilience. And I'm finding that this word keeps coming up in a lot of books that I'm reading, especially around leadership or things related to leadership and business. It's this idea that, you know, the world is changing day to day and you need to be resilient and be able to bounce back from things. And in this book, Kara talks a lot about resilience and this ability to bounce back from failure. And especially in the tech world, it's filled with stories of people who have failed multiple times, sometimes in a spectacular way, before finding success. And so what Kara argues is that what separates the winners from the losers is not talent, but resilience. You know, I heard a great TED talk where one of the folks was speaking about this idea of what makes people successful versus not. And she said the number one factor is grit. And it's this idea to keep going when everybody else has stopped. And so what Kara, you know, a quote that she has in the book is, the road to innovation is littered with failure. It's those who keep going that eventually change the world. And this is something I think, you know, we can all relate to. Your world can be as big or as small as you want it to be. But life is full of setbacks, and it's how you respond to them that defines our future. You know, when you have a setback, do you stop? Do you go, well, I'm never going to be able to do that? Or do you keep going and go beyond those moments that are comfortable for other people? You know, one of her quotes that I really like is that true resilience is the ability to adapt, evolve, and keep moving forward, even when the road is littered with obstacles. You know, if you're running or riding your bike and you're heading through the road and you see a pothole or you see, you know, something in the way, are you going to stop, turn back, or are you going to figure out a way to keep going? And what these tech guys did is they didn't always figure it out with their first idea or their 100th idea. But because they had a clear vision and knew where they were going, they were able to adapt and keep at it till they figured something that worked. And so as you apply this to your life, it's like, what's something in your life that you may have given up on too early? Is there something that if you stuck with it, it might have turned out a little bit differently? The last finding that she talks a lot about in her book is the need for diversity in tech. And I want to make sure that we're not wandering down a road where people hear diversity and immediately, you know, tune out. It's this idea of diversity of thinking and experiences. So it's not about a number. It's not about some kind of metric. It's about, you know, having people in the room that have a different experience and background and different way that they see the world to be able to apply that in the best way possible. And so Kara makes a strong case for diversity in tech. And she points out that some of the industry's biggest blind spots, either around privacy or discrimination or bias, specifically what we're seeing with AI, might have been avoided if there were more diverse voices at the table. And what she says is, a quote is, innovation thrives on diverse perspectives. Without them, we end up creating solutions that only work for a few. And I think this is really a call to action, not just for the tech industry, but all of us. And by embracing diversity in our own circles, whether work or communities or even in our personal relationships, you know, we can really foster a more inclusive and innovative solution. One of her quotes that she has is, without diversity of thought, we end up solving problems for a narrow few, leaving the rest of the world behind. So I'll ask you this. Have you ever been the person in the room who is the only one that disagrees with the decision? Everybody else is nodding their head saying, oh, yeah, we totally need to do this. And you're thinking, we don't need to do this at all. And here's the question. Do you speak up? Or do you think, you know, that I must be missing something if everybody else agrees with this? And in some work cultures, the surprising thing is that when you speak up, others might agree, but we're thinking the same thing you were. And so diversity of thought, backgrounds, experiences enrich the lens that companies see the world and are critical, whether in your workspace or your personal life. You know, do you surround yourself with people who are just like you, who think all the same things you do, who have all the same backgrounds you do? Or do you have people around you who challenge your thinking or think differently, and you know that they're still great people? Their experience is just different from yours. And if not, if you're a leader or, you know, a leader in a company, if you're not surrounding yourself with people who think very differently than you, my question would be, why not? You know, I was talking to somebody the other day at my work and I kind of laughed. I said, I know what I think. Like, I don't need more people to think what I think. I know what I think. I need to know what you think. And the value of having that diversity of thought allows you to hopefully create better options and solutions. So why is Burn Book important? You know, it's not just a critique of the tech industry, it's a mirror held up to all of us. You know, Kara Swisher doesn't just want us to understand the tech world better, she wants us to learn from it. And this book is a reminder that innovation isn't just about shiny new gadgets or what new tech is out there or what cool stuff we can do. It's this idea about having a vision and having humility and having resilience to think differently about that. And I think these are positions that we can apply and principles that we can have, you know, whether we're in tech or not. And so if you haven't read it, it's called Burn Book. It's by Kara Swisher. It's eye-opening, it's provoking. You know, it's a little bit feisty and fiery. You know, but to me, it was a book that I really enjoyed reading, and it was a lot of tech that reminded me of the tech that we had when tech first got started into everybody's homes, and it's not even around anymore. And, you know, do you remember this? Oh my gosh, I totally remember that. You know, and the speed with which things come in and go out. And so it was almost like a fun little history for those of us that are my age to kind of see all of the changes that have happened in tech over the years and some of the impact we might not even think about that it's had on us. Thanks for joining me today on Curious KDO. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. I'd love to know what you think. If you've read the book, I'd love to know what your ideas are around it. What did you take from it? And if you have ideas for other books like this or other books that you think would be an interesting read, just drop me a line, let me know. Until next time.